Grace to you and peace from God our Father
and from our risen and living Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. As Paul reminded us in our epistle reading, we are not of the night. We are of the day. And during the day is the time to work. And so the Lord has called us to labor in His vineyard and in His kingdom. And He has given us gifts and talents for that purpose while we wait for His return. And that's what we're going to see and be reminded of in our gospel reading, our sermon text, Matthew 25, verses 14 to 30. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability, and immediately he went on a journey. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. He also who had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, you gave to me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents besides them. And his Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Then he who had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. But his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and that I gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own with interest. Therefore, take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness, for there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So far the word of our Lord. The Lord has indeed given to each and every one of us talents. And you know that the word talent in the scripture reading, in the time of Jesus, meant a coin, a form of money. It actually originally started out as a weight. You know, a talent of gold, a certain weight of gold, but then it came to mean a certain coin, and that's the way Jesus is using it. We, of course, because of this parable, use it in a very different way. We use it to mean skills and abilities. And so America's Got Talent is not talking about the abundant wealth that America has, even though we do have that. But at the time of the parable, it was a form of money. And yet we very often fail to think of that aspect of our talents. The Lord has given us many things to use in His service, and one of them is money. And stewardship is certainly a part of this parable. Paul actually lists wealth, in a sense, as one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. In Romans 12, verse 8, he's going through the different gifts that God has given to his church. Some are given the ability to teach, and so they teach for the good of the church. And some are given the ability to lead, and so they lead. And look what he says. And he says, some are he who gives should give with liberality. In other words, some are given the gift of not only having wealth, but a heart that delights to give it to the Lord and to serve the Lord with that thing. This is one of the gifts that the Lord has given to some. And it's not because he favors one over another, right? Sometimes we have a tendency to think of money as either good or bad. We have a tendency to think, the rich man, he is the one who's truly blessed from the Lord, and surely the Lord is favoring him. Or we look at it the opposite way. The rich and wealthy, they're the ones who take what they want and don't care about the little man, and they're kind of the most evil people on the earth. We tend to take the extreme view of money. Either it's the ultimate example of God's blessing, or it's the ultimate form of evil. But really, it's just one of the many gifts that God gives to His church. Some teach, and some play music, and some have received wealth from the Lord and know how to take care of it and can use it to support the church. The bigger point, of course, is that the Lord gives gifts to all of us, different talents and abilities, just as He gave to these three men, and the Lord knows what He's doing. To one He gives little, and to one He gives much. To one He gives this gift, and to another He gives another gift. And He calls us to use these not only in the service of His kingdom, but in service of love to one another. And I am getting a little bit off the point of the parable here, but I think it's a point that we really need to hear and think about. Because the Lord has created each one of us differently so that we might work together in love to be something far greater. And yet, most of the time, we use these gifts that the Lord has given to us as an opportunity to promote ourselves, to condemn others. These gifts that the Lord has given us to use in love, we so often use in hatred. To one, the Lord may have given a need and a desire to make things orderly and clean. And to another, He may have given the drive to do one task at another, and because they're going, and doing, maybe they're not so good at cleaning up after themselves. And yet, what do? We accuse and condemn. The one who wants things clean gets angry at the other because they don't keep the house the way that they want it. And the other one might get angry at the first one, saying, why do you spend all your time trying to make everything perfectly neat? There are so many other things that need to be done. And so we condemn and criticize one another instead of recognizing the opportunity that is there to work together, to fill in the gaps where each other is missing or lacking. I remember well when I lived with my brother Aaron. And Aaron is a good cook, but I don't know how he makes such a mess. He could be cooking a very simple fried egg or something, and the kitchen still looks like a hurricane came through after him. And that would have been a wonderful opportunity for me to say, hey, well, Aaron's cooking, and I'll show my love by cleaning up after him. I didn't. I failed, you know. Instead, I got mad at him. Why are you making such a big mess and then expecting me to clean it up? You made it. One might be good at sports and another, you know, really good at math. And both gifts are from the Lord, and yet what do we do with them? The one who's good at sports lords it over the other one. You're just a nerd. Look at me. I'm a football hero. And the one who's good at math condemns the other. Well, math is more important. I'm going to go out and program computers and stuff. I'll show you. Instead of recognizing the wonderful truth that the Lord has created us all differently so that we can work together to fill in those gaps to make something better. How sad it is that the Lord gives us these gifts in love to share, but we use them in sinful selfishness to promote, to condemn, and to argue. Back to the parable. The Lord does give to some much and to some little. To one he gives five, another two, and one one. And some of these men delight in their gifts, and they do use them to serve each other and to serve the Lord. And their gifts increase and promotes, and they end up doubling what the Lord has given to them. But one does not. One hides his gift in the sand and sits twiddling his thumbs until the Lord returns. What are we to think of this one? And indeed, what are we to think about the fact that the Lord uses the one with one talent as the example? He uses the man with one talent as the example, as the one who is condemned. I think if, you know, we went back and the Lord hadn't used this parable, we're so familiar with it now that I'm sure if we were to repeat it, we would say it the same way the Lord did. But if we had never heard it from Scripture and the idea came to us to use it, most of us would probably use the man with the five talents as the example of what not to do. Because after all, isn't that the greater sin? Isn't it the greater sin that the one to whom the Lord has given much fails to use it? Whereas those who don't have very much, well, you know, it's harder for them. After all, the one with five, you know, if he tries something with one talent and it fails, well, he's got four more. You know, he's got plenty to serve the Lord with, but I only have this one talent. I need to protect it. I need to hide it. The greater sin is on him, but that's exactly why I think the Lord chose the one with one talent. Because that is exactly our attitude most of the time. Our attitude is, you know, I don't have the gift or the talent. I'm not Martin Luther. I'm not the Apostle Paul. I'm not Peter. Let the pastor do that. Let the great men of the world whom the Lord has given much gifts to, let them be the ones to do that work. I don't really have what it takes to help out. That's exactly the attitude that the one with the one talent has. It's exactly the excuse that he gives to the Lord. I was afraid because I only have one talent. I was afraid that I wouldn't be able to live up and accomplish the things that you were expecting of me. I think most of us would agree that that's who we are. After all, none of us is Bach or Pythagoras. Most of us would probably agree, yeah, we're that man with that one talent. Not that the great men of this world, but humble. And yeah, the Lord maybe has given us something, but not as much as he's given to others. And so the Lord uses the one with the one talent as the example specifically because he is talking to us. Remember what we talked about last week? When we see these parables, when we see these lessons from the Lord isn't telling us to judge others. He's not telling us to try and figure out whether we're this person or that person. He's telling us, this is you. He's telling us, this is a judgment on your heart. Many people approach the Bible that way that I was talking about before. Many people approach the Bible as, okay, we've got the Pharisees over here and the disciples over here. How can we make sure that we're the disciples? We've got the man with the five and the man with the two, and then we've got the man with the one. How can we make sure we're the one with the five talents so that we get to go to heaven and we do what the Lord wants? How can we make sure we're in that camp? But that's not what the Lord is calling us to do. The Lord is telling us, this is who you are. Not just you, but me too, am the one with the one talent who keeps making excuses before God about why we can't do the tasks that the Lord has set in front of us. Excuses that prove just how little we trust the Lord. The man in the parable, the man who is us, Jesus says he's condemned by his own words. He says to the Lord, you reap where you haven't sown. You know, you go buy a field and you haven't even planted it, and yet somehow it produces for you. Whatever you do turns out good and well. And I just couldn't live up to that standard. Think about what he's saying. If everything that the Lord does turns out good and well, if everything he does is the right thing to do and produces, then that man should have realized that it was good and right that the Lord gave me this talent. He knew what he was doing when he gave me this talent. And I can go out and use it and labor in his vineyard without fear. Without fear of the tasks that is set before me, because it's not dependent on me. The Lord has already decided this is the task for you. And the Lord doesn't give us more than we can handle. He calls us to live and to use those talents in faith that he knows what he's doing. The Sunday school kids today and next week are going to have a wonderful example of this. Today they're going to have the story of, well, in Bible class too, we're going to have the story. Have the story of Saul being anointed king. And there we have an example of a man whom God chose, and he said, you are my chosen one to be the king of Israel, to lead the people. But instead of saying in faith, instead of saying, well, the Lord must know what he's doing, even though I don't think I'm adequate, Saul said, no way. And in fact, the Lord gave him three signs. He said, here are the signs that prove that you are going to be the next king of Israel. And Saul still went and hid when it was time for him to be crowned king. And then next week, even more dramatically, this same point is shown, because then you're going to have the story of David and Goliath. And what do we see there? We see an enemy of the Lord coming forth and standing before Israel and challenging Israel, saying, let your champion come forth. And Saul was the appointed king of Israel. He was there to lead the people. He was the one chosen by God to be that champion. He should have immediately gone forward in faith. This task the Lord has given to me. Instead, he went and he hid in his tent and tried to convince somebody else to do the task that the Lord had given to him, because he was afraid. And for 40 days, Goliath taunted Israel until the Lord chose a new champion. And David stepped forth in faith and not in fear. And we see this parable that the Lord put before us today, we see that parable in the story of Saul and David. Because then what the Lord had given to Saul was taken away from him. Because he wouldn't use that talent, because he wouldn't do the work that the Lord had set before him, it was taken away. And it was given to David. God does not give us more than we can handle. Yes, even you, the Lord has given abilities and talents so that you might serve him in a purpose. And he calls us to leave the excuses behind and to go forward in faith, trusting that the tasks that he has given to us are tasks that we can complete, not by ourselves, but because he is with us. He has given us a heart of faith and not of fear. And he has given us a salvation of faith, not of works. This is why the one who had the one talent is condemned. Not because he didn't produce enough, but because he had no faith in the Lord. God isn't sitting up there in heaven with a quota board and saying, okay, you make the quota, you can come to heaven. The increase is from him. The fruit is from him. And the servant knew that, as we already talked about. He knew that his master prospered in whatever he did. And so he should have had faith that he would prosper and trust the Lord that he would prosper through him as well. Many people might see in this parable an example of salvation by works, but we've seen already that it isn't about works. It's about faith. And yes, the Lord points to the works of the man. The first two who produce, he points to their production and he says, good job, you may enter into my kingdom. But it's not because those works get them into kingdom, but he points to them as evidence of their faith, that they trusted in him. We know that Jesus will give the increase. We know that the Lord will give us salvation. And therefore, we don't need to make excuses for our sin. And that's part of the problem with this man as well, isn't it? Here he is confronted by his sin. He's confronted by the law. His Lord returns and he hasn't done what he was expecting and he knows it. He's confronted with the fact of his sin and he makes excuses. We also are confronted by the law. As I told you before, this parable is speaking condemnation on the laziness and the selfishness and the faithlessness of our own heart. But here's the good part. Yes, we are condemned, but we don't have to fear, and we don't have to make excuses as the one with one talent did. Because we know the mercy and grace of our Lord. We know the salvation that is from him. We know that he gives us the increase. So we can look at this parable and we can say, yes, this parable condemns me. We can say, yes, I have been faithless in the work that the Lord has given to me. Yes, I have relied on myself instead of him. We can be confronted by the judgment here and on that day which is to come, and admit, yes, I am a sinner. I am the one with the one talent. And still not fear the judgment of the Lord, because through our Savior Jesus Christ, we have salvation, despite our sin. We might not produce 10 or 5 talents. We might not double what the Lord has given us. But we do have gifts. We do have what the Lord has given to us. And if we trust in him, we can move mountains. And if we trust in him, we will be saved. Amen. The peace of God that surpasses all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.